So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. 2017, I'm calling 2017 Acts 2017, because I believe that God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit as in the days of the Bible. And I think that it's important that we know who we are and where God is going. So Galatians chapter 4. You have to understand, the book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul to straighten out a sideways church. The church in Galatia had a lot of things that they were confused on. They were trying to bring the law back in and didn't really understand grace to the level that he did. And so he began to teach them. And chapter 4 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." I believe that we are coming in the time appointed by the Father. And the church, though we are not considered children, and if we read a little farther, Paul actually says that we've cast off the rudiments of the childlikeness. That's outside. So we are not a child, but at the same time, we haven't inherited the riches of the Father, have we? One day we are going to inherit the riches of the Father. And so he says that, like a child, someone who is the child of someone filthy rich, like a child, a son of Bill Gates or someone like that, Donald Trump, right? That when you're 12 or 10, you can't go out and spend some of your money, even though your daddy has the money and you're going to inherit the money, because you have to be of legal age. Well, even though we are mature in Christ, we have not reached the age where we get to inherit the Father's kingdom yet. Amen? Now we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we get the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment on the kingdom. And so we get to experience some of the riches of the kingdom through the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, that in itself is glorious, isn't it? When you feel the power of the Holy Spirit like electricity through this jar of clay, and you pray for someone, or you're praying and you feel the presence of God all over you, you know, that is that down payment. That is that unction of the Holy Spirit. And so that's just the foretaste of what is coming. But we haven't reached maturity yet. We haven't reached the age. And it is not a time that I can choose. It's not a time that you could choose. It's not a time thy grandmother, who's went to be with the Lord, could choose. The text says here, the time appointed by the Father. Now, I'm really excited. I probably don't show it enough, but I cannot tell you how excited I am to be living in 2017. Because, yes, we've had 8 years of oppression. We've had 8 years of immorality and legalizing immoral acts. But it was not man that put Donald Trump there. And I am not worshiping Donald Trump. I am simply saying that we are experiencing a time appointed by the Father. I believe it. And already we've seen things like other people standing up in other countries, because Obama is not calling the shots anymore, and now everybody's attitude is changing. This week, Ford announced they were going to build a factory in Mexico. Now they've changed their mind. They're going to go ahead and build it here. And so you see this rippling effect of, and the man hadn't even gotten office yet. But this is not about Donald Trump. It's about the Father. You hear what I'm saying? The appointed time of the Father. And that time had to come now. It could not have came 4 years ago. It could not have came in 1940 59 when I was born, when my grandmother was preaching. It is the time when Daniel was fasting and praying and asking God to show him the future of the Jews. They were in captivity in Babylon. They hung up their harps on the willow trees. They wanted them to sing the songs, but they said, "We can't do it. We're in captivity." And they were sad, and Daniel fasted, and he prayed, and he asked the Lord to show him. And God showed him events of the future long past the days of Daniel. And he said, "It's a closed book. It's not for you to know, but it will speak in its time." It's that time appointed by the Father. And it's speaking today. Amen? It's speaking. And God, give me the words. I can't even put them in, articulate them. Let me read on, because I know there's something in here that will help me articulate this. Time appointed of the Father, verse 3. "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So, you know, this time appointed of the Father is talking about the inheriting the riches. It's time. It's the very end. But this other time appointed in the fullness of time, that was when Jesus came. And He broke the law, broke the curse of the law, and redeemed us, so we became adopted. Now, once we became adopted, we're still the sons, but we don't get to inherit it until the time appointed by the Father. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" And so, this is what happened when we got saved, that Jesus moved on the inside. Amen? And the people who say that Christians can be possessed, they can be oppressed. But they cannot be possessed because Jesus is in there, and light and darkness cannot share the same area. Amen? When Jesus moved in my heart, He put up a sign, "No room for rent." Amen? And Jesus lives on the inside. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what Congress does. It doesn't matter what Obama does. It doesn't matter what the economy does. None of that can change the fact that Jesus is living on the inside of me. He is wanting to talk through me. He's wanting to walk through me. He's wanting to sing praises to the Father through me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And so I have received this adoption, and that bringing Jesus in the inside. He is the Son of the living. He's the only begotten of the Father. But the rest of us have been adopted into the family, and so we too can cry, "Abba, Father." We are the sons of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? "Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son." Now, some people still have the slave mentality. They have that attitude that, well, you know, my grandpa never had nothing, and my pa never had nothing, and I will never have nothing. And I'm not one for preaching prosperity gospel, but I am one for saying that Jesus redeemed us from the curse, and we are no longer under the curse. If your father was a blasphemer, you don't have to be a blasphemer. If your father beat the children, you don't have to beat your children. If your father was loud and rude, you don't have to be that way. Jesus broke the curse, the generational curse, and set us free. Amen? And so we are no longer slaves, but sons. Amen? Ooh, come on, you guys are going to get this in a minute. "And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." Now, I said it, Acts 2017. I wonder what Acts 2017 says. I know what Acts 2020 says. They went from house to house teaching and learning the Word of God. It was about home Bible studies. I always said that gives you 2020 vision when you have home Bible studies. So I don't know. Somebody look up Acts 2017 and see what it says. Tell me. Huh? They sent out the elders. Is that what it says? All right. So 2017, this year, I believe is the time appointed by the Father. I believe that we can be a part of what God is wanting to do if we recognize three things. Number one, Christ is in me. Now, we know that with our head, but we don't always walk it out in our daily life. Sometimes we let people offend us. Sometimes we listen to the lies of the enemy. Sometimes we get depressed, discouraged. Sometimes we just don't feel good. And so we sometimes are like a ship tossed by the waves of the world when Jesus walked on the waves. Amen? And so if I have the attitude that Jesus is in me, then the waves don't move me. I walk on the waves. I stand on the waves. When the waves come, I say, oh good, here's my sidewalk. And I start walking on the waves. If waves of depression come, here's my sidewalk. I'm walking on the waves. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. In 2017, we got to walk on the waves. Amen. We've got to walk as Jesus walked. We've got to talk as Jesus talked. No longer is it 2016. The past government is the past. The past legislation is the past. The past failures are the past. This is 2017, the church year. Amen. And Jesus lives on the inside. I'm going to walk on my ways. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, because your sons, God sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son in your heart, Jesus in me, crying, Abba, Father. The second thing I must do is remember not only that Jesus lives in me, but that God is my Father. I remember listening to R.W. Shambach years ago, and he was on a train traveling somewhere, and some guy was smoking some big cigar and talking about all of the retail stores he had, and Brother Shambach said, well, you know what? My father owns this train. My father owns this train. He said he does. He said, in fact, he owns the whole network of trains for this entire region of the United States. He does? He said, yes, he does. And you might say, well, that really wasn't true. Oh, yes, it is. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When we understand that our Father, how many of you guys have ever went to your father and asked us for something? We have, haven't we? I remember when my dad, before I was born, my dad used to smoke, and he quit smoking. He always had Juicy Fruit in his shirt pocket where he used to have his cigarettes. And I knew I could crawl on my father's lap and say, can I have some Juicy Fruit? And there was always Juicy Fruit there to have. Amen? Because my father had it and was willing to give it. Amen? Talk about R.W. Shambach's stories. One time they were coming back from a crusade in Russia, and they were on Aeroflot Airlines, whatever he called it. He said it was like the lowest tier. They had chickens walking the aisle. It was not high class, but that was how they were flying. And he said he was sleeping the best he could sleep, and his translator was in the back with some of the personnel in the back, and he was preaching to them because he could speak Russian, telling them about the miracles that he had seen with Brother Shambach and what God was doing. And they're kind of listening. Yeah, they're not getting saved. They're listening. And then they get a call from the pilot that said they've had such a strong headwind for so long that they're not going to have enough fuel to make land, and they're over the ocean, and they're going to crash. And he wakes up, Brother Shambach, we're going to crash, praise the Lord. He said, how'd you like to hear that at 30,000 feet? And he said, I've been preaching to him about the miracles God has wrought through your ministry. And they told him the headwind is so strong that they've used up so much fuel, they don't have enough to make land. We got to have God. We got to pray. So they went back in the back with these guys, woke up the man of God, and he prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. See, Jesus lives in us, but now we have a relationship with a Father. We can crawl in the Father's lap and say, Father, I got a need. Amen. And he said they prayed in the name of Jesus that they would have enough fuel. And within 5 minutes, the headwind became a tailwind and blew them all the way back to the States. And they landed safely. And God saved every one of those guys in the back. God performed a miracle. 2017 is the book of Acts. We have no reason to believe that God does not love me more than R.W. Shambach or any other preacher or any other evangelist, Mother Teresa, any of these people. We are saved by grace and not by works. God is no respecter of person. Jesus lives on the inside. We cry, Abba, Father, and God performs a miracle. This is the year of the church, 2017. Amen. Hallelujah. So number one, Jesus in the inside. Number two, God is the Father. And number three, no longer slave mentality. No longer slave mentality. You see, the devil will tell you, you are not worthy to ask these kind of things. He will remind you of what you did last week or last night or last month. He will remind you of when you lost your temper, when you got mad, when you had lust, when you had greed, when you had pride. But I don't know about you, but the devil doesn't read my Bible because it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I am not condoning not trying to live a holy life, but I am simply saying that I am no longer a slave to the sins. And when I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and I confess my sin, and he's faithful to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I put it under the blood. I eyeball the devil, and I say, I'm not a slave anymore. You're talking to the wrong guy. Amen? I am a son, and I am an heir, and I have a future in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, what is left? What is left for me to do? To watch and pray and wait, because the time appointed by the Father is at hand. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here saying that. I'm not trying to sell CDs. Amen? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't say it. I'm not one to preach a feel-good gospel just to have people say, oh, that was a great sermon. I believe this stuff. I believe that this is the year for the church of Jesus Christ. Now, like any great sports player, you can either be on the bench or in the game. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the game, don't you? And so the question is, how do I pray? How do I pray? Well, number one, I pray, I thank God that Jesus is living in my heart. Number two, I praise the Father that I have a relationship with him. And I tell the devil, I am no longer your slave anymore. I am free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when I have who I am, what I am, and where I'm at, all in line, then I say, Father, I'm ready to be in the game. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you women may have played sports, but for the guys, there is something about the competitiveness of a sport that will appeal to a person in a way that playing it, that just watching it cannot be compared. And I don't know if anyone's played basketball or football or anything. I played tennis in high school. Everybody's, and I've played a little football, you know, we've all shot baskets, right? Played a little basketball. We had a half court behind Bobby Michaels' house. Dennis Rock lived here. I lived here. My brother, who's 10 years older than me, and his wife and little girls lived here. Bobby Michael lived here. And Bobby Michael had a half court basketball goal with dirt court. I mean, beat down so that the ball bounced just as good as cement. You know what I'm talking about, just that powdery dust dirt. And we would go out there and play, you know, and you take your tennis shoe and you draw the line where you had to go back behind the line, you know, and we played half court Saturdays for hours. Hours. And what did that do? That taught us how to work as a team. It kept us in physical shape. And then there were sometimes those moments in the game that you went back and talked about. Amen. You said, oh man, you should have been there. You know, it was tied and so-and-so shot a shot and, you know, we were out of time and, right? You know, and I could tell you tennis stories. I probably told you the one about it being tied, you know, and both teams had their scores and we've had to play a 9-point tiebreaker and we're behind. My coach is betting against us. He goes, they'll never get this. And Rich was back there betting a hamburger, we will. And I tell Ed Dunham, don't try to kill it, just get it over, you know. And your hands are trembling because it's one of those where you, if you miss, we're down 4-1. All they had to get is 1 point to win the game, set, match, and for the whole school. And we came back and we got that 5th out of 9 and won it. And, you know, you're jumping up and screaming, you know. But the point is, and of course Paul did this. He talked about those that run the race, run to win. He talked about, you know, the Roman games and all of this. Whatever the analogy is, the point is we want to be in the game. That it's so much funner being in the game. And the devil will tell you, you don't have what it takes to be in the game. That you're not smart enough, or you're not bold enough, or you're not this enough. But the point is, when Jesus said, I'm giving you this commandment, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he didn't say, if you're strong or smart or whatever, if you're American, if you're Indonesian, that call is for everybody. Amen? We are called to do the work of an evangelist. And this year has to be the year. We cannot put it off. We cannot compromise. We cannot be apathetic. We have to get in the game. Because I want to finish the race running. I want to finish the race running, don't you? Hallelujah. And so that's what the Lord wanted me to say tonight. And one other thing I want to say. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah. The two. Verse 21. Tell me you who desire to be, the same chapter, Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. But he who was the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and who is the free woman through promise, which things are symbols. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai given birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem as now is, and is the bondage, is in bondage of children, but the Jerusalem from above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, before I read this next verse, let me just say this, okay? It goes back to what I said, not being under the bondage of the law, right? The way we win, the way we live, everything comes down to faith. I preached a message a while back when we were talking about victory over sin. Let the weak say I am strong. We sang that tonight, didn't we? And so I speak to whatever it is in my life, whatever stronghold it is, and I speak faith to it. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, doesn't matter what I think. I speak faith. I didn't get saved by doing something. I can't stay saved by doing it. Everything I do by faith. Everything. And so in order to be in the game, in order to have the victory, in order to be on the lineup of God's team, faith is the most important commodity we can have. And so then he goes on to say, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has more children than she who has a husband. And so what we do, as you want to be in the game this year. I want this to be the year. I'm in the game. You want to be in the game. We want to see people say, we want to see God do things. Then we speak faith. We don't speak doubt. We don't speak fear. We don't speak unbelief. We say, this is it. This is it. Acts 20:17, that's our motto. This is the year of the book of Acts at Faith Fellowship. And all these other churches, as God begins to pour out His Spirit and we begin to walk in this, then we know by faith that we're going to see a mushroom of God's moving power, saving power, souls saved, delivered, set free, miracles happen, healings happen, victory over the flesh, strongholds broken. Can I get an amen? Is anybody with me? Do you feel what I'm feeling? Are you with me, church? This is it. This is where we're going in 2017. And I don't want anybody to speak anything negative. I want to say, this is it. This is our year. Amen. And the barren, or you could even say that small little church called Faith Fellowship that looks like they're barren, are going to have more children than First Baptist on the bypass. Woo! Come on, church. Hallelujah. And it's not about numbers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about seeing souls saved. Amen. All right, let's all stand and we'll pray. Father, we are so thankful to be alive in 2017. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year that we see God move. This is the year of victory. And Lord, let us run this race with patience. Let us keep our confession positive, speaking the things that are not seen, calling into reality the things that are not felt. As we, Lord, though we may be barren, we will have more children. Though we may seem poverty, we will have more money. You will supply our needs. You will grant our request. We will see the move of the Holy Spirit in Acts 20:17 in this year. And Lord, we thank you that you live in our heart, that we have a relationship with God the Father, that we are not under the curse of the law anymore, that we are free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.